Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in which I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And they came down from the mountain, and Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So, interesting. They have this vision of Jesus transfigured. So, you know, I mean, here's the thing. It's like when God shows us a vision of something, what is a vision? It's something you see, something seen by the eyes. Like Peter, like, you know, John saw things in a vision, and the vision of Isaiah, you know, they have this vision of something they see that is not yet seen. And that doesn't necessarily make it less real, because what God causes us to see is real. It's not a, like a, an imagination. It's different. Because God does not, you know, create a vision as a lie, but a vision as truth. So as they watch, he's transfigured. The Greek word is metamorphomai, which sounds a lot like metamorphosis. It means to change the form. You know, he changed his form. And it describes. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. Moses being well known to all, as he received the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law on Mount Sinai, and Elijah. And one can read all about Elijah from the books of 1 Kings, chapter 17, through the first couple chapters of 2 Kings. Anyway, so we have the prophet and the lawgiver, and they're talking with him. Now, of course, some people, to them, this means they're in heaven, and they came down, but it doesn't say things like that. See, they could have been transported to the future, like John was transported to the future. In the book of Revelation, he was transported to the future and saw the vision of the future. And Elijah and Moses might have been transported from the time when they were alive to meet with the Messiah. They met with Jesus, right? But Jesus was already transformed. I wonder if they would have even recognized him as the human Jesus, or just as the Lord as they knew him. Maybe that's the message, that this is the Lord as Moses and Elijah knew him. The angel of the Lord. You know, in that transfigured state. And they spoke with him. And this is, to me, this conveys the message that Jesus is the one who communicated to Moses and to Elijah. That he was familiar to them, but not as he was familiar to the apostles, as the lowly man, but in this greater state of being, this more powerful manifestation of his person. And then Peter, this is what he says. Obviously, he's sort of taken aback and a little bit beside himself and just saying things that are sort of a little bit off the wall. You know, I mean, it's the kind of thing like I was there with my friend and he started saying that, I suppose I would repeat that 100 times. I wonder how many times Pete, did you hear what Peter said when he saw that he's, you know, I think it's kind of funny. Because it's, you know, it's sort of like, let's make three tabernacles. We'll make three tents right here. He wants to set up a shrine immediately because he is so dazzled by this appearance. I mean, and he doesn't know what to do, but he feels like he ought to do something. And the voice says, testifying of God's approval of the Son, hear him. And again, if Jesus wanted to teach us that he was one and the same with the Father, and that he was the Father, and he was just occupying an office, then having a bright cloud and have a voice come out of the cloud to testify of the Son, as if there was something else besides the Son. Meaning, if Christ is just, there's nothing, if Christ is the Father, and there is no Father outside the Son, then having an idea of Father and Son, and having this idea of the void, it is pointing in another direction. Why would he do that? He does these things to convey something about the nature of the Son of God. And that's the natural thing to assume, that when God does things, they have some sort of meaning. It's not for having taken God at his word. That's not why they stumble. They stumble because their minds have something else in there, leaven, that prevents them from just taking the word as it is. But they have to inflate it and change it and find something else.
The word says he's one. But it's wrong to assume that that means that oneness implies that the thing he is showing us here must be some sort of illusion. It's wrong to think, oh, because God is one, this is an illusion.
You know, but he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I know, of course. There is no, you know, you don't see the Father, you see the Son. And I and my Father are one. But there's certainly some sort of distinction that was intended to be communicated, because Jesus didn't need this cloud to appear. The cloud appears for the benefit of the disciples to testify of Christ. I mean, I suppose you could say that the cloud appeared so that they would understand that Jesus was approved by heaven and God, you know, and it was sort of like a fake thing to sort of convince them that God had sent him. You know, and that it is not the true nature of things. You could say that, I suppose. But again, I find that difficult to accept. It does not ring very, it's not very elegant to me.